The title of my sermon, I don't want to give it to you right up front, is What is Really Meant by Mark 4:4. So if you want to go there, you can go there, but I'm going to say a little bit before I go there. We're now about halfway from the days of unleavened bread till the Feast of Pentecost, more or less. You know, I'm a generalist. And Pentecost is the start, or was the start, of God's New Testament church. And this holy day is really important. And celebrating it will be a big deal. And that's just in a few weeks, like I said, in general, a few weeks. At that first New Testament Passover, some of the hard-to-understand sayings of Jesus Christ were all of a sudden began to be understood by some of those guys that had been with Jesus for 2 or 3 years. They just hadn't always gotten it. So now I want us all to think about something that Mark wrote down that Jesus said. And I want us to think about it. The point of my short message is, what is an understandable meaning to Mark 4, verse 34? So now let's go to Mark 4, 34. Let's look at it and I'll read it. Mark 4, 34. I quote, "But without a parable, Jesus did not speak to them." Now, if there's a little bit more there, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but we have to think about that. Without a parable, Jesus did not speak to them. Wow. Mark obviously wrote that Jesus used parables when he was speaking, and it seems logical to me to ask why. Why do you use parables? So let's look into this parable thing. What is a parable? We know what a parable is, or at least we think we know what a parable is. Jesus often used parables to get people thinking. And I believe that Mark and Jesus want us to think about what Jesus meant when he spoke. It's not enough just to say, and I'm thinking of somebody that I talked to on the phone, well, I've read that, and I ask him, well, what's that mean? And he goes, well, it means what it said. And usually there's a little bit more to the words that we can read in God's word. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious, but sometimes it's not, and we really have to think about them. Okay, I said we know what a parable is, at least we should, and Jesus often used parables to get people thinking, and I believe that Mark and Jesus want us to think about what, listen to this, what Jesus is still teaching. You know, Jesus lived and died, you know, as a physical man about 2,000 years ago. But the teachings that Jesus gave are still alive and vibrant, or at least they should be. When I was an English teacher, once upon a time I was an English teacher, I didn't use the word parable very much. You know why? Too religious, you know, you use the word parable, people look at you, or are you preaching to us or something? But I did use the word metaphor. What's a metaphor? Well, if you think about it, if you really think about it, parables and metaphor are very similar. And I know that a lot of you out there have those handheld computers, you know. Don't use them right now. Don't mess with that right now. But afterwards, and not when other people are speaking, but down the road you can check it out. And you'll see, you know, in your own mind, that a parable and a metaphor are very similar, because both talk about one thing that's very true, and they also mean something else that's also very true. They're not both exact, but one is used to help explain the other one. Okay? Okay. So let's read Mark 4:34 again. And in case you wonder, I'm not going anywhere else today, just there. Mark 4:34, but without a parable, Jesus did not speak to them. Now I know he ate dinner, and sometimes when he ate dinner, he said, pass the salt. But when he was teaching, when he was teaching and he wanted to make a point, he used that comparison idea. So when we read God's word, and we should, we need to think, you know, what's really being meant here? Sometimes it's patently obvious, but sometimes it's not. We have to think more deeply. Now, I want to go on just a little bit, because I didn't read the last part of verse, what was I saying, verse 34, okay. See, I have a hard time seeing sometimes, and I type the wrong numbers down here. Okay, let me read it again now with an addition. And when they, here's the addition. And when they were alone, he explained it to them. So we know that Jesus' disciples were not stupid, but some of them were a little slow at times. Not always, you know, sometimes it caught on right away. But sometimes they were a little bit slow. So Jesus, when they were together, by themselves, he could explain it to them. Parables or metaphors are almost always understandable if we think about what was said. But we have to think. It's not good enough just to read it. You got to think about it. Okay. Now, the last part of that verse is really important. So, Jesus wanted his own special disciples, and guess who they are? Us. We're Jesus' own special disciples, because you could fill this room with a lot of people that are running around out there, but they wouldn't, they don't care right yet. I love that word, yet, because it's God's intent to call every single person at their own time. And not everyone will say thank you. You know, they'll say no thanks. You know, that's choice. God gave us free will. But everyone will be called at their own time. You and I, brethren, are privileged to attend services each week. But more than that, Mr. Weber, the guy over there, has allowed us to ask questions after the messages. And we can even make statements if we stay on task. If we keep to what actually was said, we can ask questions, because we don't all know everything all at once. We have to ask questions. To be honest, you know, you have to ask questions. I know you have a Bible or two. You come to services. That's good. That's good. But are you really listening to the voice of God? I know you hear me. Sometimes my wife says I shout too loud. But that's because I'm hard of hearing or thinking, or whatever you're hard of, you know. And I usually say I'm sorry, but Are you really listening to God? Do you think about what the guy said? The person, the being, the spirit. Are you thinking about what God wants you to think about? Okay. If you're listening, if you're really listening to what God wants you to hear, then all of us can learn more from each other when we discuss the messages in message chat. Stay on the point. And then, if you've taken notes, I was an English teacher. I learned to take notes. I taught my kids how to take notes. And I do that. I know all of you don't do it that way, but I do. And sometimes I go home and you know what I do? Forget my notes. I don't pay any attention to them. But then I talk to Suzanne because I have somebody at home I can talk to. And that helps. But if you go over your notes, sometimes God will give you an insight that you didn't have, you know, while you're drinking coffee or tea after services. And I'm not against that. I think that's neat. I love to eat, you know, snacks afterwards. So let's try to learn all we can on God's Sabbath day. Our discussions here do not always have to be deep religious, you know. We talk about, you know, the sport thing you heard or... But if you go into that room and you have your coffee and tea and whatever, and you just never even think about what you heard during, you know, services, I think something's missing. So, to end this, that's why we need Pentecost every year. We need Pentecost because Pentecost, that first Pentecost, is when God's Holy Spirit was first given to the majority of those people that were attending. I want you to remember this. God's Spirit is not just blowing in the wind.